Hello, John here, and we're going to be looking at the Bible now. We're at that part of the service where a talk's given on the Bible. And as it's the first Sunday of the month, we're going to be back in our sermon series on the cross, on what the cross means and how it applies to the Christian. And today we're going to be looking at the topic being born again. And we'll be looking at the most famous passage that deals with this topic. And I'm just going to read it to you now. It's John's Gospel, chapter 3, verses 1 to 16. John's Gospel, chapter 3, verses 1 to 16. Let's hear God's word. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." And that is God's word. So being born again, I want to tease three things out of this passage. We're going to look at what it is and is not to be born again, what it is to be born again, how it happens when you are born again, and how you know that you have been born again. So, what it is to be born again, how it happens when you are born again, and how you know that you have been born again. Being born again, what is it? Well, we've just looked at the most famous passage where it's used, being born again. Our Lord Jesus Christ has a conversation with a religious leader called Nicodemus. But if you're a Rocky fan like me, you'll know that phrase, being born again, is used in Rocky IV. Rocky's friend, Apollo Creed, comes out of retirement to fight a young boxer from the Soviet Union. And just at the start of the fight in the ring, Apollo Creed says to Rocky, "Man, I feel born again." You know, he feels, and that's what it means. He feels like a new person. He feels like having come out of retirement, done all the training, he feels young again. He feels fit again. He feels like a completely new person. And that's pretty much what the Lord Jesus Christ means when he says it. It means we've become a new person. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, "If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." We've become a new creature. We've become new people in Christ. The Church of England's prayer book describes it as a death to sin and a new birth to righteousness. So we've died to our old way of life, because everyone in the world was born with a sinful nature, that loved sin, that hated God. And when we are born again, that old self dies and we're born again to new life, to righteousness. We want to be righteous, we want to be holy, and we want to love the things that God loves and hate the things that God hates. In our passage, Jesus describes being born again in this way: truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That would have been familiar to Nicodemus. He was a Jewish leader. He would have known large parts of the Bible by heart. And that imagery of water and the Spirit is in a book in what we call the Old Testament, the Jewish Bible, the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 25 to 27. God says to Israel through the prophet Ezekiel, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean from all your uncleanness, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put in you. And I will remove your heart of stone from your flesh, and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and be careful to obey my rules. So Jesus' teaching isn't new. It's the fulfillment of a promise that God had gave us to his people of old, that he would cleanse with clean water and make his people clean and give them a new heart and a new spirit. That's what it means to be born again. It's a work of God by the Holy Spirit. And that is a very profound, real and true change in a person. They've died to sin and they're born again to righteousness. And righteousness means doing what's right. And the last part of that passage from Ezekiel, God says, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. So the rules that God has said are right, we'll obey them. And we will want to obey them from the heart. It's the work of God that he does in the heart of somebody when they become a Christian. Peter puts it like this, another common way of saying it in the Bible. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it is he who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So, and that's another profound picture. We've been called out of darkness, out of a life of sin, out of a life rejecting God, into a life of serving God, of loving God, and obeying God. But I feel I should mention one thing. Both the passage in John and the passage in Ezekiel mention water. Now, some Christian traditions believe that you're born again when you are baptized. And you may be surprised to know, it's not just infant Baptist churches that believe this. Some adult Baptist or believers Baptist churches believe this. Just explain what I mean there. Infant Baptists are Christian traditions that believe that because children are called, because Christians are called children of Abraham in the New Testament, baptism belongs to believers and their children. And believers Baptists are people who believe that because the New Testament only records people being baptized after they've become Christians, that that's how baptism should be for everybody. So I'm not getting into that discussion, but it's both, there are churches in both camps that believe you're born again when you're baptized because the Bible mentions water and the Spirit. I don't think that's right. First of all, Christian teaching, is that baptism is an outward sign of an inward grace. The outward sign is a sign. In the same way, a wedding ring is a sign of your marriage. It's a beautiful token of your marriage, but it's not your marriage itself. Baptism is a beautiful token and sign of being born again, but it is not the new birth itself. What the scriptures mean when, I believe, when they say water and the Spirit, I think the writers of the Bible are doing what they do a lot of the time. They're saying the same thing in a different way for emphasis. Water and the Spirit. It's how God cleanses us. Indeed, the Spirit cleanses us through the Word. When the Word is made real to our hearts and our minds by the Holy Spirit, we're brought to repentance and faith and to trust in Christ. And that shows that we've been born again. It's the work of God in the heart. Ephesians 5 mentions that, the cleansing by water of the Word. It's the work of the Holy Spirit through the Word, and the water and the Spirit mentioned in this passage are basically saying the same thing, but in different ways. You'll find that all over the place in the Bible. The book of Proverbs does it all the time. It says the same thing, but differently, to give it greater emphasis. And water speaks of cleansing. And yes, in that sense, baptism does speak of cleansing, but it's a sign of cleansing, not of cleansing itself. So I think the Christian traditions that say you're born again when you're baptized have made a mistake. I think it is a work of God. We'll look at how it happens, and I think that proves once for all that it's not a baptism. But that's what the word water, I think, the word water means. There's a number of opinions on what it means, but that's what I think. And I'm open to being corrected, but that's where I hang my hat, as it were. So it's, what is it? It's the work of God. When someone becomes a true Christian, he cleanses them, puts the Spirit in them, gives them a new heart, and causes them to walk in his ways, to the glory of his name. So how does it happen? Well, I think from the passages we've read, it's obvious it is a work of God in us. In the passage we read, verse 8 of John chapter 3, the Lord Jesus says, "The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." It is a work of God. And John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13 read, "But to all who did receive him," that's Jesus, "who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." It is a sovereign work of God. God alone does it. Because the way we've just described it, being born again, only God could do it. Only God could give a person a new heart. Only God can bring a person out of darkness into his marvelous light. Only God can cause us to love his holiness and hate the sin that we're born loving. Ephesians 2 says we're dead in trespasses and sins. Dead people don't bring themselves back to life. And just remember the last 2 months, what we've talked about. In March, we talked about election, how God chose us before the foundation of the world. And last month, we talked about the effectual call, how God calls us, how he opened Lydia's heart in Acts chapter 16 to understand and obey the word. This is a follow-on. It's the work of God. It's a sovereign work of Almighty God that he does to the glory of his name. So all this follows on from each other. It is God in eternity past choosing us, in time calling us to him. And at that moment, when he calls us to Christ, he gives us a new heart. But there is another important aspect that we need to focus on, particularly as it was Easter a couple of weeks ago. Yes, it's a work of God by the Holy Spirit. But the reason you were born again, the only reason you could be born again is because Jesus Christ died and rose again. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 says, "According to his great mercy," this is God, "he caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So we're born again because Jesus rose again from the dead that first Easter Sunday. What does that mean? Well, remember how we defined being born again, a death to sin and a new birth to righteousness. When Christ died on the cross, he died to sin. Romans 6 verse 10 says, "For the death he died to sin once for all." So when he died on the cross, our old self was crucified with him. And I'll read the rest of the passage from Romans 6, verses 10 and 11. "But the life he lives to God. So you must consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus." So just as Christ died on the cross, our old self was crucified. Because death couldn't hold Jesus because he'd conquered it, he rose again. And the spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the spirit that causes us to be born again, that's put in us, that gives us a new heart. And so we can consider our old self dead to sin, but alive to God in Jesus Christ, because the Holy Spirit has united us with him. And so we are partakers of that resurrection life that Jesus has now that he's rose again. So that is why, that is how we can be born again. Yes, it is all three members of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, are involved intimately with us being born again. The Father that causes us to be born again by the power of the Spirit, he puts his new spirit within us, and we can be raised to new life because Christ was raised to new life, and we are united to him by faith. So when he died, our old self died, and now that he lives, we can have new life, and we have it forever and ever, because he can never die again. He's conquered death, he's victorious, and he's enthroned on high. That's how it happens. It's a work of the Trinity, the Holy Blessed Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bringing sinful men and women into covenant relationship with himself. That is beautiful, I think, and profound. So the third point, we've looked at what it is to be born again. We've looked at how it happens when you're born again. How do you know that you have been born again? There's a book in the Bible towards the end of it called The First Letter of John. The First Letter of John. John wrote three letters. And the first one, he's writing to a church to give them assurance that they are Christians and that they have eternal life. Now, unfortunately, this teaching has got lost over the years in Christian circles. I remember when I first became a Christian, when I struggled with what we call assurance of salvation, assurance that I was a Christian. And many of the people, well-meaning, said, "Well, did you ask Jesus to save you?" And I said, "Yes, of course I did." And they said, "Were you sincere?" And I said, "Yes." And he says, "Well, that's it. You don't have to worry. You are saved." Now, as nice as and as true as that advice is, it's not the whole truth. John wrote a book explaining how you can know you're a Christian. And there are a lot of tests in it, but they come under three headings. And I'm going to rephrase an old hymn. "Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey." And John uses two and adds another one. He says, "Trust, obey, love." Trust, obey, love. In chapter 5 and the first verse of his first letter, he says, John writes, "Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God." So if you, my dear friend, have realized you're a sinner, have come to Jesus Christ, have accepted his offer of forgiveness, of new start, of being a child of God, letting him rescue you, letting him justify you, letting him adopt you into the family of God. If you've received all the blessings that Jesus Christ won on the cross, you can have assurance that you're born again. Because everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. People who are born again trust Jesus as their rescuer, as their saviour, and submit to him as their Lord. Of course, that's what we call faith. And faith and repentance go together. The first test that John gives in his letter, is, do we confess our sins? This is very often the first verse we all learn when we become Christians. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So faith and repentance go together. That's next month's title, what we call conversion. What does repentance and faith mean? We're going to look at that in more detail. But if you are saying sorry to God for your sins, confessing your sins, agreeing that God is right, and have faith in Jesus Christ for forgiveness, you can be assured that you're a Christian. And so here we are. This is the truth. You will spend the rest of your life repenting of your sins and trusting in Jesus. This is vital because we're going to look at obedience in a minute. But we have to know that our obedience will not be perfect because we will always be confessing and repenting of our sins. Indeed, the longer we're Christians, the more we should feel our sins, the more we should be clinging to Christ. This is very important because it matters. What are you doing with Jesus Christ today? It was 18 years ago I became a Christian, 18 years. Either the 23rd or the 22nd of April. I can't remember the exact date. And if you can't remember the exact date, don't worry. Because what happened 18 years ago, although it was lovely, the question is, to me today, am I repenting of my sins and trusting Jesus Christ today? If not, then it doesn't matter what happened 18 years ago. It may be a lovely story, a lovely testimony. But the mark of a genuine Christian is that they are preserved by the grace of God in repentance and faith for the rest of their lives. Are you repenting of your sins? Are you trusting in Jesus Christ? And the more you trust in him and the more you repent and confess of your sins, the more you will see of the second point, obedience. Obedience. 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 and 4 read this, and by this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. That's strong language. If we say we're Christians, but we don't obey God, then we're lying. No matter how enthusiastic we sing the songs, no matter how diligent we are at church, if our lives are persistently showing patterns of disobedience to God, then we are not Christians. That's how we know that we're Christians, that we keep his commandments. God's law is given in the Bible several times. It's given in the Garden of Eden. It's put on our hearts by nature. It's given in the Old Testament with a ton of ceremonies and laws for Israel as a nation. And it's given in the New Testament. God's natural or moral law should be our delight. And indeed, another way of saying a life of obedience is being like Jesus. This is what he says in verse 6 of chapter 2 of his first letter. John writes, whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way which he walked. That's being like Jesus. Because Jesus lived a perfectly obedient life. So if you want to live a life of obedience, walk like Jesus Christ did. Behave the way he did. Think the way he did. Love the way he did. Be humble the way he was. Live like that. Because that's what Christian means. It means little Christ, one who wants to walk the way Christ walked. Again, we won't do it perfectly. We will need to confess and repent. But we will try. We will sincerely try. And our life will be marked by a degree of Christ-likeness. Being like Jesus. because that is the test. Obedience and conformity to the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we mentioned God's law. How did Jesus summarize the law in Matthew 22, verses 37 to 40? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Love. That's the third test. Love. John writes in chapter 3, verse 14, we know that we have passed out of death to life because we love the brothers. Do you love Christians? Do you love being to church? Do you love being at part of the church? Do you love being at church? Are you missing church? Are you missing your brothers and sisters? If you are, that's a sign that you're a Christian. Look how kind God is toward. God gives us all these blessings, and they're all interwoven. And do you do your best to actually love your fellow Christians? Do you love in not just in word, but in deed? That's also very important. If you can answer yes, then you can have assurance that you've been born again, because these are the marks of what God does in the heart. If you want to know all of them and look at them in detail, just go through 1 John. It's the first letter of John. It's only 5 chapters long. Read a chapter a night this week. Monday to Friday, you'll have read it. And just examine yourself. Trust, obey, love. They're the signs that you are a genuine Christian. So what are we going to do with all this? Well, if you're not a Christian and you've not been born again, then you can't see the kingdom of God. So come to Jesus Christ this very day. Cry out to him. Ask him to forgive you your sins. Ask for that clean water to cleanse you and make you clean. Ask for God to put his spirit in you, to give you a new heart, to die to sin and to be born again to righteousness. Cry out for that and receive it with thankfulness. If you profess, if you call yourself a Christian and you've looked at the signs of being a Christian, you're like, I'm really not sure. Again, come to Jesus Christ. Cry out to him. Call to his name. Run to the Savior. And if you've looked at these three signs and you've thought, oh, yes, I'm a Christian. Again, come to Jesus. Ask for more of his Holy Spirit. Ask for more of his cleansing, that you may, through the Spirit, by the Spirit, through the Word, grow in faith, have more faith, have more repentance, have more obedience and holiness of life, have more love in your heart for Christ's church and the people and the world, as in the people in the world, and you want to share the gospel with them. Cry out for more. Never be satisfied with your level of Christian experience. Ask for more. More about Jesus. More of God the Father, more of the Holy Spirit. Cry out to him. And if you're struggling with assurance, confess and forsake every known sin and start fighting against it. By faith in Christ. Yes, you have to fight against sin, but fight the good fight, the fight of faith. Keeping your eyes on Jesus. Fixed on him. And cry out for a heart of love. Ask God, fill me with your spirit and make me more like Jesus. And use the means that God has given us. If you want more faith, faith comes through hearing and hearing the word of God. Romans 10 says. Get into the word, hear it preached, hear it read. Pray it back to God. Ask for all these things and watch God change you and grow in assurance of salvation. Knowing that it's all for him. It's all of him. It's all for his glory. And his name will be praised forever and ever. So come to Jesus Christ this very day. Come out of darkness into the most marvelous light. And keep going. Keep pressing on. and keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. God bless you. Amen.